Welcome everyone to our latest Barkham Church remote service. It's great that you can join us. I hope you're keeping well. My name is David Horrocks. I work at Barkham Church and I'm going to be leading us through our time together today. We are coming to the end next week of our summer series in the Book of Psalms. We have two left to go, and today Michael Byrne, who helps to lead at Barkham too, will be preaching on Psalm 49. Our first song, this great hymn, you'll see it there on the service sheet, does what every church service should do. It lifts our eyes up to the Lord, and as you'll see from the first line, asks him to help us to do that, to look to and to see him in our time together too. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Nought be all else to me save that thou art. Do join in singing this great hymn now. God is, as we've just sung, the High King of Heaven. He's so majestic. He is so glorious. And yet the wonder is that in his glory, he shows such concern for people like us who are anything but glorious. Not for those who think they're great or who the world thinks are great, but for those who know they're not and are prepared to admit it and to humble themselves before him. That thought of God's kindness and concern for the humble blew Mary away. She couldn't keep the praise in when she realised that's what he was like. And she came out with these lovely words from Luke chapter 1. Do join me in saying them together now. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. A God who deserves such praise, including verse 54, for, as Mary puts it, remembering to be merciful for his mercy to those who are humble before him. And so let's humble ourselves before him now. Let's admit how unglorious we are as together we say this prayer of confession. So we say, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. We will continue in prayer now. Annie will lead us as we do so, and then Vanessa will bring our reading from Psalm 49, and then Michael will preach.
I'm Annie Venables. I usually go to the evening service at Barkham. We'll be praying three prayers today, and all of those are with Psalm 48 that we looked at last week in mind. At the end of our prayers, I'll be leading us in the Lord's Prayer. Firstly, we'll pray for our mission partners this month, Open Doors, who work with persecuted Christians around the globe, for our schools and young people as they return to school, and for our church family. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the work of Open Doors with persecuted Christians around the world. Thank you for how Open Doors has been able to respond to the current coronavirus pandemic and the ways that you've been at work through them to provide for and sustain your people. We particularly thank you that Open Doors partners in India have been able to reach 1,000 families with much needed food and provisions at a time when loss of work and restrictions have made daily life very difficult. Please would you continue to protect and provide for our brothers and sisters in India, and please would you provide opportunities for them to reach out to others in their local communities with practical help and love that points them to Jesus. As we saw in Psalm 48 last week, please would your church in India bring praise to you as it shows you are at work in your world and with your people. at a time when India is becoming an increasingly hostile place to be a Christian. Please, with the security and gladness of your people, be a witness to the lost. And please, would you use Open Doors to continue to encourage and support your church in India. Amen. Father God, we lift up our schools and those who lead them as they prepare for the start of term. A new school term is busy at the best of times, but we pray for staff and students as they navigate returning to school amidst the uncertainty brought by COVID-19. For students, Father, please help those who might be feeling anxious or afraid about returning to school. Please would you help schools to put the right protective measures in place to protect students. For students for whom lockdown has been a difficult time emotionally or mentally, please would you help schools to provide the support they need and be quick to spot when a student is in distress. Please would you help the young people at Barkham to trust you as they return to school and where they have opportunity to share the hope that they have in Jesus with their friends. Please help CUs to restart and please use them to reach students with the good news of Jesus at this time. For staff, Father, please give those making decisions wisdom and clarity of thought. Please would you help school leaders to implement plans to keep everyone safe quickly and effectively. Please help staff to establish good routines in their classrooms. And please would you protect them, especially those staff who are vulnerable or who have vulnerable family members at home. With so many uncertainties, please, with this generation of students, look to you, the one who makes your people secure forever. Amen. Father, we heard last week that your church is glorious, the joy of the whole earth, not because we're amazing, but because of you. Thank you so much for being with us by your Holy Spirit and for how you've kept us trusting in you during the last few months. Thank you for the online services, which have been a great encouragement to us. And we pray on for our family who are unable to return to meeting at church just yet. Please would they know you with them and your love for them. Please continue to sustain each one of us in our walk with you. And please be making us more like your son, Jesus, sacrificially loving each other and helping each other in the different circumstances we experience. We long to be a church that welcomes and shares you with those around us who don't know you. Despite the restrictions, please, Father, would you be at work drawing people to yourself? Please help us as a church family to keep going, speaking of you and inviting our friends and family to church, that they might know something more of your goodness and grace. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join with me in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Psalm 49, for the director of music of the Sons of Korah, a psalm. Hear this, all you peoples, listen, all who live in this world, both low and high, rich and poor alike. My mouth will speak words of wisdom. The meditation of my heart will give you understanding. I will turn my ear to a proverb. With the harp I will expound my riddle. Why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches. No one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough. So that they should live on forever and not see decay. For all can see that the wise die, that the foolish and the senseless also perish, leaving their wealth to others. Their tombs will remain their houses forever. their dwellings for endless generations, though they had named lands after themselves. People, despite their wealth, do not endure. They are like the beasts that perish. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves, and of their followers who approve their sayings. They are like sheep and are destined to die. Death will be their shepherd, but the upright will prevail over them in the morning. Their forms will decay in the grave, far from their princely mansions. But God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself. Do not be overawed when others grow rich, when the splendour of their houses increases, for they will take nothing with them when they die. Their splendour will not descend with them. Though while they live, they count themselves blessed, and people praise you when you prosper. They will join those who have gone before them, who will never again see the light of life. People who have wealth but lack understanding are like the beasts that perish.
Let's pray. Proverbs 2 says, "If you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver, and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." Father, we want to cry out to you now for that knowledge and understanding that come only from you. Please feed us with the wisdom of your word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I was initially going to give this talk the title, "The Curse of Riches." Psalm 49 warns us against the danger of riches, whether we have much, whether we have some but wish we had more, or whether we have very little and feel we are missing out on life. But actually, the psalm gives us a much bigger and grander picture that captures the heart of the gospel. Just look at verse 15. "But God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself." He will surely take me to himself. Does that bring to mind some words of Jesus? These words from John 14. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." The psalmist was looking forward confidently to a glorious future. Through Jesus, we can look forward with even greater confidence to that same glorious future of being with God. But we're not there yet. So we would do well to listen to the voice of wisdom in this psalm and heed the warnings associated with riches, lest we lose our hold on the one thing that really matters, our life in Christ. Psalms, along with Proverbs and a couple of other books, is part of what is known as the wisdom books of the Bible. In these books, wisdom is often pictured as a person, and we hear this voice of wisdom in these opening verses. Verse 1. "Hear this, all you peoples. Listen, all who live in this world, both low and high, rich and poor alike." Wisdom is trying to grab our attention. It's a bit like the market trader calling out, "Roll up, roll up," before launching into his sales pitch for his ridiculous dancing dog or his miraculous cleaning product, or whatever it is he's going to demonstrate and then try to sell to you. Or one of those entertainers at a town fair or on the seafront trying to pull in a crowd before they launch into their sequence of circus skills or acrobatics or conjuring tricks. Perhaps you've come across such a performer on holiday recently. Well, if your attention has ever been grabbed by someone like that, how much more should it be grabbed by something of eternal value? This wisdom is for everyone. All are invited and urged to listen. In Scripture, the voice of wisdom is the voice of the Lord.
even if it comes through a human agent, a human voice. So we really ought to listen. Wisdom speaks wisdom that gives understanding, verse 3. This is practical truth for living well in God's world. It's rooted in the Lord, not just in what we call common sense. Well, we're going to look at the rest of the psalm under two headings, an unfounded fear and a well-founded trust. So firstly, an unfounded fear. Verse 5. Why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches? This highlights a truth about wealth that seems pretty evident in our country and in the world today, that wealth almost inevitably leads to having power over other people, and that power can so easily be used to oppress others and make life hard for them. Such abuse is not inevitable. We can hopefully think of examples, perhaps from our own day, but including biblical examples such as Abraham and Joseph of Arimathea, who were wealthy but used their riches to be a blessing to others. But almost wherever we look, we see those with wealth and power and influence using those things to acquire more for themselves and their circle of friends and supporters, and deny them to others. It may even be in the classroom or the office. Perhaps you're aware of another child in your school whom many other children look up to and who seems to exercise a controlling influence over them. You feel under pressure to be part of this group and go along with the things they do and the way they behave and speak, because you don't want to be criticized or laughed at or mocked for being different. It can be similar in a place of work with someone whom you have to suck up to in order to get the best projects to do or the chance of promotion. Yet the voice of the believer, who we hear in verse 5, indicates we should not be afraid when such things happen. This believer has found a robust confidence in the midst of evil days, when the rich further their grip on power through lies and deceit. Well, the reason for such confidence doesn't fully emerge until that gospel verse 15. But he's already seen that the way of these rich oppressors is flawed because of where they have put their confidence, in their own wealth. Confidence in riches is flawed, firstly, because wealth cannot buy the one thing that is needed. Verse 7. No one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough, so that they should live on forever and not see decay. There is a ransom price owing to God, a ransom price for every single person. The psalmist doesn't explain why, but assumes this as a self-evident truth. And that's right, isn't it? If we live in God's world using the resources he has provided, with no gratitude to him and completely ignoring him, then we can hardly expect to buy him off at some later date with however much of those resources we've grabbed for ourselves. We owe him an unpayable debt. Even if we have wealthy friends, they can't pay that debt for us. They're in the same boat. Confidence in riches is flawed. Secondly, because our wealth can't go with us beyond the grave. Verse 10. For all can see that the wise die, that the foolish and the senseless also perish, leaving their wealth to others. Their tombs will remain their houses for ever, their dwellings for endless generations, though they had named lands after themselves. Wealthy people may, in general, live longer than poorer people. Wise and wealthy people may in general live longer than foolish and wealthy people. But whether wise or foolish, rich or poor, all will die, and whatever wealth they had is left behind for others, every penny of it. We know that, don't we? Some may go to the taxman, some may go to pay for the funeral, some may go to charitable organisations, and some may go to relatives or friends who are still alive. But nothing is left in the name of the person who has died, and nothing has gone with them. It's astonishing to see or hear of the vast wealth and the vast effort that has gone into preparations for the afterlife for the rulers of ancient civilizations in places like China and Egypt and India. Yet none of it has gone with those rulers. Whether it's the mausoleum of Qin Shi Huang with its terracotta army, the pyramids of the pharaohs, or the Taj Mahal, it has all been left for grave robbers or museums or tourists to enjoy. And for the rulers themselves, though they had great wealth, they end up with a home consisting of a little box for their bones or mummified remains, like everyone else. Death is indeed the great leveller. When we see more and more rulers of nations changing the laws so that they can continue to rule for as long as they want to, isn't it a comfort to know that that won't be forever? They can't escape God's judgment in bringing their days to an end. Verse 12 sums this up well. People, despite their wealth, do not endure. They're like the beasts that perish. So do not be afraid in times when evil prevails, because those who are rich and powerful cannot buy their way out of God's judgment, and they cannot take their wealth with them beyond the grave. Well, now the psalmist leads us from an unfounded fear to a well-founded trust. A well-founded trust. Verse 13. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers who approve their sayings. They are like sheep and are destined to die. Death will be their shepherd. But the upright will prevail over them in the morning. Their forms will decay in the grave, far from their princely mansions. As we move into the second half of the psalm, we begin to see a distinction being made. The first half seemed to include everyone. No one can redeem a life. Everyone perishes like the beasts. But the start of the second half hints at there being an alternative to the apparently all-encompassing fate of the grave. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves, those who are relying on their own resources. Could there be another way? Something else? Someone else in whom to trust? We're not quite there yet. Verse 15 awaits. The psalm continues to paint an unrelentingly bleak picture of the future for those trusting in themselves. Death is their shepherd, their bodies decaying, forever separated from the wealth and privilege and power which they once enjoyed. And notice, it's not just the rich and powerful themselves. Those who follow them, those who keep them in power, those who share their thinking, share the same fate. It's always tempting to throw in our lot uncritically with a strong leader who seems to be promoting our own interests. But that's how dictators manage to hold on to power for so long. Don't be a follower of someone who trusts in themselves, this psalm warns, or you will end up in the same place as them, and it's not a happy place. But there is another hint of an alternative to the self-trusters. There is another group of people, the upright, who will prevail over them. And so to verse 15, but God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself. The psalmist has a different shepherd, not the shepherd of death, but a shepherd who leads through the valley of the shadow of death. This is the one in whom he puts his trust. The psalmist didn't know that God would redeem him through Jesus, the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. But Jesus' death on the cross, hundreds of years later, was God's means of redeeming mankind and fitting sinners to be with him beyond the grave. The psalmist didn't know how God would redeem him, but he had complete confidence that God would redeem him, and therefore he could look forward to life beyond the grave. How could he be so confident when he's already expressed the impossibility of anyone else paying for his life? We can only assume that it was the work of the Holy Spirit bringing that same conviction that he brings to us as believers today when we take God at his word. As Paul writes in Colossians 3, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." This well-founded trust enables the believer to ride the chances and changes of this life without envying those who seem to do better. Verse 16, "Do not be overawed when others grow rich, when the splendour of their houses increases. For they will take nothing with them when they die. Their splendour will not descend with them." They may seem to be blessed. They may be proud of their achievements. Others may praise them. But without a Redeemer, it will all come to a shuddering halt that will drain their life of any meaning. This second half of the psalm ends with a summary verse that echoes that at the end of the first half. But note the change. So verse 12, "People, despite their wealth, do not endure. They are like the beasts that perish." Verse 20, "People who have wealth but lack understanding are like the beasts that perish." At the start of the psalm, we heard the voice of wisdom offering us this understanding. Have we heard that voice? "Don't be afraid," it says, "when life is a struggle, while the rich and powerful around us seem to be thriving and even using their riches and power against us. They are ignoring eternal realities, and before long all they have will be stripped away from them. Don't be intimidated into following people like that, and don't envy them." I wonder if you remember that little parable in Matthew 13 about the merchant who traded in fine pearls. Jesus said that when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. If you have received Jesus as your Redeemer, you have found that pearl of immeasurable value. Hold on to that. It's all you need. And if you haven't yet done the deal of selling everything, giving up your rights to everything else, to buy this one treasure that really matters, can I urge you to do so before it's too late? Let's pray. Father, thank you that your word has again pointed us to Jesus. Thank you that in him we have a Redeemer, and that he will take us to be with you in glory. Please help us to be satisfied in him, and especially so when others around us in positions of power and influence are vying for our loyalty or seeking to crush us. Remind us of the eternal realities we've seen in this psalm. And if and when we have wealth and power ourselves, help us to use these things to build your kingdom rather than our own little empires. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our final song is a great Holiday Bible Club favourite, although it's a song that works for us all, not just for children to sing. It's a great opportunity for us to express something of what the psalmist expresses in Psalm 49, that our trust is in God and not in ourselves. Again, do listen and do sing along now.
I'm gonna trust in God, I'm gonna trust in Jesus, without shame and without fear. I'm gonna fix my eyes on the hope of glory, for his day is drawing near. I'm gonna trust in God, I'm gonna trust in Jesus, without shame and without fear. I'm gonna fix my eyes on the hope of glory, for his day is drawing near. How great is the love of God, how steady is his hand to guide me through this world. And though I am weak and am I stand, you will hear me say today in faith, I'm gonna trust in God. Now when the cares of life seem overwhelming and my heart is sinking down, I'm gonna lift my hands to the one who'll help me, to the one who holds my crown. How great is the love of God, how steady is his hand to guide me through this world. And though I am weak and am I stand, you will hear me say today in faith, I'm gonna trust in. How great is the love of God, how steady is his hand to guide me through this world. And though I am weak and am I stand, you will hear me say today in faith, I'm gonna trust in God.
A final prayer based on words from Numbers 6. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord turn his face towards us and give us peace. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you again for joining us. It's been lovely to have you with us. Do join us again next week, either via our remote service, or if you can, come along and join us at Barkham at 10 in the morning or 6 in the evening. Don't forget to book in via the website if you can do that. Why not try to be in touch with somebody else from the church family at some point today as well? Give them a ring, see if you can speak to them. Have a very good week and hopefully see you soon.